KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's cloudy and 53 degrees in Atlantic. We look for partly to mostly cloudy skies today with a slight chance of isolated showers this morning. There are some very light and widely scattered showers across portions of northwest Iowa through northeast and central Nebraska and over portions of southwest Iowa this morning, but most of those aren't probably making it to the ground. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The National Transportation Board says three people have died in the crash of a small plane in southeastern Kansas. NTSB spokesman Peter Knudsen said five people were aboard the twin-engine Cessna 401 when it went down around 4:30 p.m. Friday northwest of Chanute, Kansas. Knudsen said the eight-seat plane caught fire after the crash. The Federal Aviation Administration is also investigating and said the crash occurred about 7 miles northwest of Chanute. That's generally a rural area. Knudsen said the plane was en route from Riverside, Kansas to Council Bluffs, Iowa. He said the plane lost contact with air traffic control shortly after getting permission to descend to a lower altitude. Knudsen said investigators were unaware of any distress call. No other information about the people on board has been released. No injuries were reported following a fire Friday afternoon at the Clarinda McDonald's restaurant. According to the Omaha World-Herald, the store was closed briefly after a fire scorched the rear of the business at around 12:50 p.m. The store's employees noticed smoke near the back door. Further investigation revealed smoke coming from an electrical receptacle. When an employee removed the receptacle, smoke began pouring out of the wall, and flames were observed coming from the exterior of the building. A maintenance worker used a fire extinguisher to control the flames until the fire department could arrive on the scene. The assistant fire chief said later that the fire appeared to have started on the outside of the building, climbed the wall near the back door. The damage, he said, was minimal, and the cause remained under investigation. The Griswold Community School District's Board of Education received some welcome news during a special meeting held Friday evening. The bid for the high school middle school re-roofing project came in roughly half of what early estimates indicated. Prior to accepting the bid, a public hearing was held concerning the project, during which Superintendent Dana Kunze read a letter from officials with Estes Construction and FRK Architects with regard to their recommendations.
Estes Construction, along with FRK Architects, has completed the pre-award interview with the apparent low bidder for the re-roofing project. During the pre-award process, we reviewed the low bidder's scope of work, conformance to the bid documents, planned subcontractors and suppliers, schedule compliance, and proposed means and methods. Also, having received multiple bids, the lowest of which is under our estimated cost of the work, we find the low bid to be fair and reasonable. The attached bid tabulation shows the low bid amount and associated general requirements and CM fee. It is our recommendation that the contract be awarded to R.L. Kraft of Denison, Iowa.
Board President Steve Byer said he was pleased with Kraft's bid of $669,024, which was much less than the $1.2 million anticipated cost of the project. And, of course, the board voted unanimously to accept the bid. In other business, the Griswold School Board Friday approved the resignations of Chris Elwood from his teaching and coaching positions, Erin Emelian from her teaching and coaching positions, and Gina Rush from her paraprofessional position. And after reviewing three parking lot design proposals from Bishop Engineering's Joel Jackson, the board narrowed the design down to one but made several changes and or additions to the plan. A final draft of that plan, including the changes, will be presented to the board during a special electronic meeting. That's one held by a conference call and email next Wednesday evening. Regardless of the final plan design, everyone on the board and Jackson agreed that there will be a six-week learning curve for everyone to get used to the new layouts once construction is complete. The Cass County Sheriff's Office late Friday afternoon reported four arrests this past week. Two people were taken into custody on Thursday. 27-year-old William C. Cotter of Omaha was arrested on an Atlantic Police Department warrant for threat of terrorism and false report to law enforcement. Cotter was booked into the Cass County Jail, where he was being held on $25,500 cash bond. And 28-year-old William Daniel Mendez of Grant was arrested on a district court warrant for a probation violation. Mendez was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he was being held on a $5,000 bond. On Wednesday, Cass County Sheriff's deputies arrested 59-year-old Deborah Ann Thomas of Atlantic on a charge of public intoxication. Thomas was booked into the Cass County Jail, where she pled guilty before the magistrate the following day. And 25-year-old Michael John Carroll Jr. of Avoca turned himself into the Cass County Jail on a district court warrant for failure to appear to serve time. Carroll was booked into the Cass County Jail. He'll be released upon completion of his sentenced time served. The Atlantic Police Department reported Friday the arrest on Thursday of four individuals. 23-year-old Damian Selders of Carson turned himself into authorities. Selders had been wanted on a Cass County warrant for criminal mischief in the third degree. He was booked into the Cass County Jail, posted bond, and was released. And taken into custody Thursday on charges of public intoxication were 18-year-olds Tyler Dahl and Joseph Reisberg, along with 20-year-old Michael McConnell. All three are from Atlantic. Each was booked into the Cass County Jail and held pending an appearance before the magistrate. Elsewhere in area news, Fly Iowa Chairman Gary Pellet on Friday announced the theme for the September 15th Atlantic Fly Iowa Air Show event. It's homecoming and heritage. In a press release, Pellet said, "We have a strong history of individuals in aviation in the greater Atlantic area. Their mission with the air show is to recognize those people and anyone who has touched aviation in some way during their life. And along the way, they plan to present some pretty phenomenal family entertainment." A subcommittee of the Fly Iowa event continues to work on collecting contact information for area pilots, flight attendants, mechanics, instructors, airport managers, military, and others who have touched aviation and have roots here in southwest Iowa. Pellet said, "We have a fantastic facility right here in Atlantic, and many have gotten their start locally." He said they also have several local businesses who utilize the Atlantic Airport on a regular basis. According to Atlantic Municipal Airport operator and AirWorks owner Barry Reed, more than 50 commercial planes utilize the facilities and more than 200 local pilots. Pellet said, "Not everyone visits the airport regularly, so the Atlantic Fly Iowa event will provide the opportunity to see some local planes, as well as unique displays, including a hot air balloon, aerobatic demonstration, World War II aircraft, skydivers, and more." He said they're very excited about this first-time ever event for the Atlantic area, which they expect will bring in thousands of people. Pellet added that the committee is planning a memorable presentation which will appeal to all age levels and be accessible to all because the sponsors have made it possible for free admission. The Fly Iowa Air Shows are located in one Iowa community each year and sponsored in part by the Iowa Aviation Promotion Group. Atlantic is the 2012 host and co-sponsor. Officials in Harrison County say free popcorn, wine tasting, and a demonstration of the new smartphone interpretation are just a few of the activities planned for Saturday, May the 19th, grand opening celebration for the Lincoln Highway Lus Hills Interpretive Center, which is located at the Harrison County Welcome Center near Missouri Valley. To officially open the new center, a rope-cutting ceremony will be held on the 19th at 10:45 a.m. The rope will actually be made from colored yarn, signifying the six school districts represented by the Harrison County communities. At the conclusion of a short ceremony in the center's large center, there will be free hot dogs, chips, and cherry drink, a tradition of the village since the 1930s, which will be sponsored by the Harrison County Historical Society for as long as supplies last. Also occurring on that day between 10:30 and 1 p.m. will be Western Iowa wine tasting, including a new Lincoln Highway variety, an Animal Tracks scavenger hunt on the hard surface portion of a new trail, and a sample of upcoming Welcome Center farmers markets. A few of the vendors for the 2012 season will share their wares as well as a listing of what crops and crafts can be expected from all of this year's vendors. The Harrison County Historical Village and Iowa Welcome Center is located between Missouri Valley and Logan on Highway 30. For more information, you can call 712-642-2114 or visit the Harrison County Iowa Welcome Center on Facebook. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Barbara Fries, age 78, of Anita, died Tuesday at the Colonial Manor. Funeral services for Barbara Fries will be held on this morning, that is, at 10:30 at the Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Anita has arrangements. Sherry Zeitlow, age 68, of Urbandale and formerly of the Avondale area, died May the 2nd at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Sherry Zeitlow will be held this morning at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. And James Harland Humans, Jr., age 86, of Elkhorn and formerly of Persia, died Wednesday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for James Humans, Jr. will be held today at 11 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Persia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. That's a check of our news this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.